Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday morning, and welcome back to another Psalms devotional time. We're in Psalm 66 this morning. I'm Jason Van Bemmel, pastor of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I hope that you are doing well this morning. I am struggling this morning. Got some heavy, heavy news late last night. Pastor Jean-Jacques Paul, missionary we support in Haiti, has become a good friend of our church, a friend of mine. He was here visiting with us in March, preached at the church in early March, took him to the presbytery. He died yesterday in Haiti. Details are still sketchy as to exactly what happened or how, but he died yesterday in Haiti, and we are heartbroken, shocked, stunned, really, at this just incredible event. And we trust God, but we don't understand right now what's going on. Jean-Paul was the founder of Souls Winning Ministries, Reformation Hope, in Haiti. They have an orphanage with 91 children. They have a church ministry, a Christian school, Bible college, medical clinic. It is a very large and robust ministry that he has been leading in Haiti, and we are just stunned. So we will be praying for the ministry and for Jean-Paul's family. He's actually was born in Haiti, but came to America at the age of 9 and is an American citizen, and so they are going to be looking to transport his body back to America for funeral and burial in Georgia. So we need to be praying for that as well. So anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will dig into Psalm 66 this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. We can always say that, Lord, even when we don't understand your plans and purposes and the things that happen under your providence in this world. We know we live in a broken, fallen world. And so, Father, we pray that you would have mercy and that you would show us your goodness, even through tears at times, even through shock. We do pray for Jean-Paul's family, his wife and children. We pray for the ministry in Haiti, for the men that you've raised up under his leadership. For CK and Ose and Jackie and others who, Father, head up the various aspects of the ministry in Haiti. We pray that your gospel light would continue to shine, even as this great servant of yours has been called home to you. Father, be with us this morning as we look at Psalm 66. Give us your spirit. Give us insight into your word. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Psalm 66 is a very joyful psalm, and I really thought about not doing it this morning, to be honest, because I don't feel super joyful right now, but it is good to allow God's word to speak to us and to minister to us where we are. So, Psalm 66 is also appropriately a missionary psalm. So the psalms we're looking at this week, 65, 66, and 67, are all in a more missionary direction. They're more about the nations, about the world. Psalm 6, and it builds. So Psalm 65 was that way somewhat, and then 66 even more, and then 67 will be even more clearly so on Friday. So let's read this together. It is written to the choir master. It is a song. It is a psalm. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Selah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living, and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tested us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Blessed be God, he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. So again, this is a missionary psalm in that it is calling to all the earth to sing to God, to shout for joy. We said that sometimes in the Psalms, the nations are in view in the context of being the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. And so what is called for in the Psalms is justice against the nations and against the enemies of God and against the enemies of his people. But here in Psalm 66, it is a joyful call for all the earth to shout for joy, to give God glory, to give him praise, to say how awesome are your deeds. And so how can the world do this if they don't know God, right? They have to know God in order to know how awesome are his deeds and how great is his power. And so how are they going to know unless they are told, right? That great sequence in Romans chapter 10 that says, you know, how will they hear unless there's someone to tell them? And how will they be anyone to tell them unless they are sent? It's a great gospel missionary passage there in Romans 10. And that's what I think of when I think of how is all the earth going to shout for joy to God and sing the glory of his name? How are they going to be able to say how awesome are your deeds unless they hear how awesome are the deeds of God? And the way they are going to hear that is through the proclamation of the gospel. Now, in some ways, one of the distinctions between the Old Testament and the New Testament in terms of gospel missions is that in the Old Testament, the call is to come and see, which is what we see in verse 5. Whereas in the New Testament, the call is to go and tell. What do I mean by that? Well, Jerusalem, the temple, Judah, Israel, was set up by God to be his people, right? His kingdom. And it was geographically defined and it was distinct among the nations of the earth. And the temple and the holy place and the worship of God on the temple was singular in its place. Even the other high places that had been built around Judah and Israel for the worship of Yahweh, God opposed and wanted them torn down. God wanted one place where he would be known. And he invited Judah and Israel and the nations to come and see, right? And when you came to the temple, you would hear the truth of God. You would see the worship of God. You would be invited to know God. And so it was temple missions, temple evangelism. It's one of the reasons why Jesus got so upset with the leaders of Jerusalem in his day, because they had turned the house of God, which was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, and they took the outer court, the court of the nations, where the nations were supposed to come in and hear about God, they took that and turned it into a marketplace where they would sell animals and exchange money. And Jesus was very upset by that and overturned the tables of the money changers and drove out the animals and the animal sellers, because God had said, come and see. And that was the space for the nations to be able to come and see. And so we, in the New Testament, though, as we translate the Psalms to a New Testament context, we need to understand that it's go and tell in the New Testament. We need to go into all the world and tell the nations about the goodness of God. There's another bit of translation we need to make here in verse 6, and that is, this psalm is looking back on the Exodus. So often in the Psalms, they look back on the Exodus, because in the Old Testament context, the Exodus is the definitive redemptive event in the history of God's people. So when is it that God delivered his people out of the bondage of slavery and identified them as his people and began to lead them as the shepherd? It was at the Exodus. And so that's what the Psalms so frequently look back on. For us, though, we have a greater Exodus to look back on, and the hand of the greater deliverer, and that is the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has brought us out of the house of bondage, not the land of Egypt, but slavery to sin. He has delivered us from sin. He has brought us into the kingdom of God. He has made us his own people. So whenever we read the Psalms looking back on the Exodus, we can also think of the Exodus, of course, because now by God's grace, Israel's story has become our story. We've been grafted in, right, to that olive tree of the people of God. So we can look back on the Exodus, but we ought to also look back on the death and resurrection of Jesus. There, Jesus brought us true salvation, and we can rejoice in him who rules by his might forever. Bless our God, O peoples. Again, it's a global call. The peoples, the nations, the whole world. Sometimes God tests his people. Sometimes he brings us through hardship. Sometimes life is full of challenging things that we don't understand, and we don't really understand what God is doing or why he is doing it. But even when he chooses to act in those ways, he is still good. And when he tests us, he brings us through the testing so that we can be refined, we can learn to trust him, and we can grow in him. And that's what we need to trust when we're going through very difficult times, like the news we got yesterday and what is going to be going on for some time now with the ministry in Haiti and with Jean-Paul's family. Is we have to trust that even when God lets men ride over our heads and we go through fire and water, he brings us out into a place of abundance, and he tries us as silver is tried for the purpose of purification. And so we can come and worship God. We can bring him our sacrifice of praise. Whenever we see sacrificial language in the Old Testament and in the Psalms, we need to, again, do some New Testament translating. Jesus, of course, is the once for all finished sacrifice. But we still bring a sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips giving thanks to his name. And so we still bring him worship, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. We need to always be willing and ready to tell our testimony. It was one of the things I loved about Jean-Paul, is he would tell his testimony of what God had done for his soul and how God had called him to Haiti. We need to always be ready to tell our testimony. And we need to always be ready to confess our sin to God and not cherish iniquity in our hearts, but keep keep short accounts with God by keeping our sins confessed before him. And then the psalmist ends, "Blessed be God. Blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me." And again, that translated steadfast love is this wonderful Hebrew word, hesed, that speaks of God's covenant faithful love to his people. So we can rejoice always. We have a gospel to tell to the nations. We have a testimony to proclaim. Come and hear. I will tell you what he has done for my soul. And we can call the nations to sing and shout and praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you are good. Your steadfast love never ceases, and you have not removed your steadfast love from your people. And so we look to you, and we rest in you. We are stunned and shocked by the death of John Paul. But we look to you because you are so good, and you are so faithful and wise. And we trust you. We put our lives and the ministry in Haiti and our church and our future in your hands. And we shout for joy to you because you have delivered your people. Because of Jesus and his death and resurrection, death for the believer is not the end. It is but the doorway to eternal life. And Jean-Paul is now enjoying your presence as your redeemed and beloved child. And we thank you for him. Father, I thank you that Debbie is doing much better and that she's recovering from this bowel obstruction and that she's not going to need surgery. I thank you for strengthening her and I thank you for healing her. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Help us not to cherish iniquity in our hearts, but always confess it to you so that we can pray to you with an open mind and a clear heart and a clear conscience as those who have been forgiven. Help us to have confidence in you today and to walk in that confidence, knowing that you are good. What awesome things you have done to save us and how faithful you are to us every day. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining me. I look forward to Psalm 67 on Friday, and please do keep praying throughout this week. May God bless you.